Halimi v. Gonzalez. Mr. Cola.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Counsel. With regard to this case, just a brief synopsis of what transpired. The petitioner is accused of smuggling basically her nephew's wife into the country. She was detained at the airport, questioned through an interpreter, and then placed in removal proceedings. And the whole case rests on what transpired at that airport interview. That at the individual hearing itself, the only witness that...
It's perfectly clear what happened. She tried to smuggle her niece into the United States, right? I don't know what else is involved in the case.
I'm not disputing what actually transpired.
That's what happened, right?
Correct.
Okay, so what's the issue?
The issue comes down to this is whether or not the government could have met its burden but for the way the immigration judge conducted the hearing in this case.
I don't understand. Why does it matter how he conducted it?
Well, Your Honor,
we know what happened.
If
you try to smuggle people into the United States, that's a serious offense against the immigration laws.
There's no question of that, Your Honor. There's no question of, in essence, what transpired, because, in essence, she admitted to all that, and the evidence supports it. However, in any hearing of any kind, you're supposed to have a fundamentally fair hearing in this case. And what transpired in this case is she shows up in the immigration court with her previous attorney, which was not me. She shows up at that hearing, and they objected to the introduction of certain evidence against her. In essence, she testified against herself. That's where the whole case rested on. The attorney objected to the evidence being admitted at the airport interview, the statements given at the airport. The immigration judge, rather than adjudicate whether or not those statements would come in, decided to have a hearing.
All these errors are harmless.
Well, yeah, they're not harmless.
Yes, they are, because we know what happened, as you said.
But, Your Honor, if the government can't prove its case...
She had a perfect trial. She still would have been found to have tried to smuggle her niece in the United States.
Well, if the witnesses had not... If the statement had not come into evidence, the statement from the airport interview, there'd be no evidence against her. But for her testimony, she can exercise the right of self-incrimination to not testify. So what evidence would there be against her? Her whole case was the airport statement and her testimony. Now, if the airport statement does not come into evidence, therefore she goes up and says, I'm not going to testify, what evidence do we have that she committed any offense at all? There's absolutely none whatsoever. And it's the government's burden to prove that she smuggled someone into the country. She's not asking for... She didn't ask for a form of relief like asylum or cancellation or adjustment of status where she's doing a proactive stance and requesting some kind of relief. She was saying, prove your case. But the immigration judge, rather than decide the issue of does this statement come in or does it not come in, decided let's put it all in there and we'll sort it out at the end of the whole case. And that's where the problem lies. Because when she testified, you know, there's an issue whether or not she was testifying in objection to the statement coming in. It'd be the same as putting out a motion to quash arrest, suppress evidence, saying, I object to this evidence. Now, you can't say, put that case on and at the end of the day say, well, you know what, you're guilty, therefore the statement should come in anyways. That's the backward logic of what this immigration judge did in this case. There was a fundamental right to challenge those statements, to get a ruling on whether or not those statements come into play, and that was not done in this case. Basically, the judge put on the case, decided that she was guilty, therefore the statement should come in to justify a finding of inadmissibility, removal in this case. The immigration judge never gave her an opportunity to cross-examine the officer who prepared the statement. There's clearly in the law, there's a fundamental right that they produce this witness being the officer.
She testified at the immigration hearing, right?
But, Your Honor, again, the issue comes, what was she testifying concerning? Was she concerning the merits of the government case? Was she there to prove the government's case against her? Or was she there to challenge the introduction of this evidence?
She testified. She wasn't forced to testify. She testified.
You know, but what if, I mean, hypothetically, if a person says, I challenge the nature which the police got a statement from me, or I challenge what happened at a particular hearing.
You can challenge that, but if you decide to go ahead and testify anyway, you know, then your testimony can be used against you.
But this would be akin to a motion to suppress statements or a motion to quash arrest, and you have a hearing to adjudicate.
What's akin to anything? She testified at the hearing. She didn't have to testify. She testified.
I, I agree with you. She did testify. I'm not disputing the fact that she testified. But was she testifying to the barring the evidence, or was she testifying to the merits of the case? And my argument...
She was testifying to the merits.
Well, she was testifying in what transpired at the airport, which showed that the statement was coerced, that the statement, that there was translation issues at the airport, Your Honor, and she has the right to cross-examine what was reflected in those notes and what was reflected in that statement. There's no question, and I'm not going to sit here and say she didn't do what she did. And I'm not saying she didn't testify. What I'm saying is the government had the burden of proving it. She was challenging that statement they were seeking to introduce. And then by challenging that statement, she basically proved their case against her. There's something just inherently wrong with that. I think they have the burden of proving it. They have to produce the witnesses. They requested that the witnesses be there. They request the immigration judge requested that the witnesses be there. She has the right to challenge a hearsay statement. She has the right to cross-examine a witness. None of this was provided to her, Your Honor. Then if that's the case, then what is the point of even having any of these hearings at all? We just have a person come in and say, "Did you do it?" "Yes, I did it." The government should be able to should be held to a responsibility of proving their case. And in this case, they clearly did not do that, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Mr. Lies.
May it please the Court, Jeffrey Least on behalf of the respondent. As was discussed, the petitioner has not challenged her actual removability and therefore has waived that issue. Instead, she raises several due process claims relating to the proceeding in front of the immigration judge. For the first time before any court, she's raised the issue of whether the immigration judge should have decided the admissibility of the statement before taking any testimony. Because she didn't raise this claim to the board, she's failed to exhaust that claim. There's no jurisdiction over it. Furthermore, she objects to the introduction of the statement itself. She complains that she was not given the opportunity to cross-examine the witnesses. However, in this case, there were no witnesses. The government wished to introduce these two officers, but however, they were not able to do so. The immigration judge denied them the continuance. The petitioner has made no continuance motion of her own, did not join in the government's motion, did not try to subpoena these witnesses. So she's made no effort to get these witnesses there herself. Moreover, there's been no prejudice. As was discussed, she testified that what was in the statement was true. She's raised several issues concerning whether or not there was coercion and whether or not there was any interpretation difficulties. But at the end of the day, she repeatedly states, "Yes, I went to Macedonia with the intention to give my daughter's passport to my niece so that she could come home and pose as my daughter to get through." The fact that she's testified that what is in the statement is true, in essence, negates any possible coercion or interpretation difficulties there may have been. Furthermore, while she wasn't entitled to present evidence on her behalf, she wasn't entitled to challenge the actual document which was presented by the government, and she did so. She testified of her own volition that...
Now, wasn't the niece allowed to stay?
Yes, the niece was given a waiver for her...
How was that?
It wasn't part of this proceeding, so I can't really attest to why. I believe she was given a waiver based on the charge, which was fraud and misrepresentation, I want to say. However, there's no waiver for the petitioner's claim itself. So just because the underlying offense, so to speak, was waived for the niece, that does not affect...
Like her.
How old was the niece?
I believe she was 21 at the time of the proceedings.
She wasn't a child.
Right, correct.
So... Wasn't she the accomplice or even the principal in the offense?
She may have been, but she was not part of these proceedings, so whether or not she should have been charged with additional...
It's like an odd kind of randomness in immigration enforcement.
It may have been just an oversight by the government. I really can't attest to that. But speaking of the niece, she also testified at the hearing and basically said, yes, the petitioner gave me...
I smuggled myself in, yeah.
Yeah, gave me the passport. And I mean, she basically testified yet to everything else was true. Clearly, there was no prejudice in this case. I mean, the petitioner was entitled to a full and fair hearing and received a full and fair hearing. She testified of her own volition and, unfortunately for her, testified that everything that was in that document was actually correct. If there are no further questions, the respondent respectfully requests that the petition be denied.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Least. Mr. Cola, how much time does he have? 3 minutes?
With regard to this, the issue of no witnesses, the government's in essence saying we have to provide our own witnesses against us. And I don't think that's what is required in immigration.
Is the document admissible on its face?
I don't think so. What it comes down to, and this is the whole
argument. Aren't those documents routinely admitted in immigration cases?
Generally, they're routinely admitted because what happens is people are not litigating the issue contained in the document.
Well, there was no issue in the document. That's why it wasn't raised here.
But
the lady was going to testify to what happened.
Well, maybe not.
Well, if they could keep it out, she would sit back quietly and not say anything.
She can sit back quietly, exercise the Fifth Amendment, and the government has no case to prove, and she walks out the door. Despite her moral guilt, she would walk out the door because they couldn't prove it.
Well, she'd walk out the door, but she might get thrown out of the country. So, carry on that way.
I understand that, Your Honor, but what it is this is...
She didn't go to jail. She just got deported.
Correct, and her niece got to stay, obviously.
You'd have a splendid... Yeah, that's an interesting one. You'd have a splendid case if she had gone to jail for lying, but that's neither here nor there. She didn't.
In that regard, she's very lucky, but what I'm just saying is the government had an obligation to prove their case.
She did it for them.
Was it?
She did it for them.
And what we're saying, that's wrong.
Okay.
Thank you.
I understand your position.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, both counsel.